Coming up on Two Noobs, O.J. Simpson passed away this week. We will ponder the circus that was his murder trial from nearly 30 years ago. Oh my God, I feel old. Next, MLB pitchers are blowing their arms out in seemingly record numbers. Some want to blame the pitch clocks. Did you get me or what? Then we jam it in there with three Batman-related segments. Believe it or not, there was that much news on it recently. And then finally, Matt versus John in a round of Jeopardy. And I'll be sure to sabotage things. Start the music indicating Matt will lose. It is episode 185 of Two Noobs Talking. Gentlemen, I am in mourning today, wearing the Arizona, well, it was Phoenix when I bought it, but yep. Arizona Coyotes jersey. The news that they are likely moving to Salt Lake City. That's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, it is. It's because that had an amazing, I guess it was close to 30-year run. There.
I think that's right. Yeah.
Don't go like that.
Roenick was playing there in the late 90s. So yeah, it's got to be close to 30.
Shane Doan, of course, another great player over the years. And, but I mean, when you're playing your ice hockey games in a college hockey arena, that's problem number one. And then problem number two is nobody gives you any support whatsoever to building a new stadium. It's kind of like, well, if you don't want us here, see ya.
Yeah.
You know, it's just bad part.
I think they've had bad ownership the whole time.
Oh, very much so, yeah.
And the government, you know, governments are always shit.
Yeah.
So I feel bad for the fans because you're talking about hockey in the desert. Well, we've got a guy who's close to scoring 70 goals in a season this season here. And guess where he came from?
Yeah.
Phoenix area.
Yeah.
Without the Coyotes, you don't have him.
Yeah. Yep.
So count your lucky stars, Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
And then go lose in the first round of playoffs.
Yeah, against Florida. Yeah, which would be great. Right. Can't wait for that.
Be fantastic. All right, well, let's get this shindig started. Over here, I've got junior John Tracy. Over here is middle-aged Matt Craig. And I, in the middle, I'm senior citizen Steve Murray. Wait, what the hell?
How'd you work that one out?
I don't know. That's weird.
What's going on there?
Mr. Craig, I can't help but notice you are wearing a Philadelphia Phillies jersey, and I think I know why, but how about you tell us the experience of looking at those City Line jerseys today at the Dick's Sporting Goods?
God, you know, you go into Dick's Sporting Goods, you expect him to be like, you know what, okay, I'm getting ready for the softball season, probably get some softball, you know, equipment, all that kind of stuff, and then you get hit with music, loud music coming in and saying, hey, celebrate the City Connect jerseys.
No thanks.
And I'm like, well, good Lord Almighty. And you walk in there and you see the racks upon racks upon racks of these terrible jerseys.
Untouched.
Untouched.
And they were clean as a whistle.
The great thing is it brought people together. I was approached by a woman, you know, had her son with her, and she was like, are you going to buy one of these? I'm like, absolutely not. They're
look like a
she
fool.
Was like, I don't disagree with you. You know, and it was like they weren't flying off the shelves. Nobody was buying these things. So it was, good marketing, guys.
Phillies did a great job of finding the four people in the stadium last night that bought them because they showed them every time.
I was going to say I nominate John Tracy to be the uniform, I guess it would be the alterer, I guess, or creator of the Philadelphia Phillies going forward, because these were god awful in person. I can't even imagine.
We'll throw them all in the trash.
Yeah. Yes. Burn them. Whatever you have to
do. I'm sure Tom McCarthy was paid extra to remark about how beautiful those things look.
Yes.
Every time they showed them on camera last night.
Yeah. Getting texts from my father who was watching the game last night is like, are you watching this? It's like,
what
they're
is
awful.
That?
I'm like, well, thank God I'm not, but I was like, yeah, I've heard they're pretty bad. So, yeah.
And the worst part of it all was last night they replaced the Philly P with the Liberty Bell on the score in the upper left-hand corner.
Yeah.
Robbing us of a night of poop.
Yes.
And that just doesn't sit well with me. Whenever the Pirates are in town or when we're playing Pittsburgh,
yeah,
you got to go with the poop.
Yeah,
you
man.
Just have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I was going to say speaking of poop, but that's not true.
Maybe.
we're going to go to our W Energy.
You don't know.
We're going with our W Energy fun fact. Visit W.GG or use the app and use our promo code TwoNoobsTalking. That's TwoNoobsTalking. You get 10% off your order. Hey, check out their new line of anime themed 24-ounce shakers. With our promo code, you can get $1.50 off and snag one of the Black Wolverine, Blue Sword Fighter, or Purple Miss Amanda shakers.
Bam! Right at you.
It's good for mixing up your energy drinks. So
absolutely.
Give it a look.
Yeah.
John, I heard we have a twofer today.
Yeah, it's a twofer. Go for it. So we'll start very, very quickly with the Ford Bronco. It was released in 1966.
Oh, there you
go. To compete with the Jeep. And then went on to... That's the first generation. The second generation, of course, came out recently and looks... okay.
I heard a bunch of them were recalled, too, recently.
Yes, a ton of them.
What a shock.
There was DNA on the floor.
Yes. And secondly, just to appease our comic book people, Batman's debut in a comic book was May 1939 in Detective Comics, number 27.
Yep.
So if you didn't know when Batman came into your life, that is when.
There you go.
Oh, it's physically impossible for him to come into my life before 1981, but that's beside the point. Number 27, what did they do for the first 26?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Good God.
Yeah, can you imagine that? And then all of a sudden, just that one change and strap the rockets to him. We're off to the moon,
he's
baby.
He's appeared in so many comic books and we can't
Since.
Even.
Yeah.
You know what our Detective Comics is missing? A man dressed up like a bat.
Who goes after criminals? Not bad. Yeah.
Why not?
Why not?
Who came up with that?
Bob Genius. Kane. Bob Kane. But thank you very much.
Bob Kane. But when you think about the thought process that led to it, it's
he's kind of special that was his final decision.
Yeah.
Man dressed like a bat that beats up people, but doesn't kill him. Just beats him up.
Just beats him
and
up.
And leaves him for the cops.
That's right. That's right.
Sometimes hung upside down.
Well, it's even better. The blood rushes to the head. And, you know,
yeah, well, there you go. Stuff. Yeah.
All right. Well, it falls on me today to do our over 40 rant. And originally, I was going to get into the complete and utter stupidity of the overreaction to the Flyers' 9-3 loss recently to the Montreal Canadiens.
Oh, we're not. Oh, I had so many things I wanted to yell at Philly sports fans about.
Well, I changed my mind recently because I have this gut feeling, and you'll know by the time you people are listening to this, but we still have two games to go. We will probably be doing our Flyers season wrap up next week.
Yeah.
Barring a miracle.
Yeah.
But we could probably hit on that there because that's a ripe opportunity.
Yeah.
But something more enraging in the hockey world occurred yesterday.
Oh, yes.
As of the date of recording. One Mark Stone, captain of the Vegas Golden Knights, who went on long-term injured reserve just before the trade deadline, magically appeared at practice yesterday in a non-contact jersey. Wouldn't be surprised if he's ready to go game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs next week. I find it funny when people said, well, he's got a lacerated spleen. That'll be a season-ending injury.
Yeah.
Wink, wink, nudge. Hey, we need some cap dollars to make a trade for a big superstar at the trade deadline. Who wants to get hit in the side with a baseball bat? Watch out for 2 months.
Oh, please me. Please me.
When is the National Hockey League going to wake up to this cap dodging nightmare? This is the second offseason, or not offseason. So this is the second season in a row that a player has gone out at the trade deadline.
Yep.
Come back just in time for the playoffs.
Yeah.
They need a rule change.
Yeah.
It's it, let me put it in perspective. The Philadelphia 76ers got fined because they mismanaged Joel Embiid on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
The NHL doesn't even know what a piece of paper is. Like, they're just like, and I remember when I said Gary Bettman got away from we're starting to catch up to him now.
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah.
This is dumb. Like, that's the only thing. It's just dumb.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that Vegas continues to do this, Johnny, and that's the thing. It's like, eventually, this is going to catch up to them.
Well, they're trying to, and the NHL loves it because, oh, they got their villain, and, oh, it could be this thing, and it's terrible. They're trying to write stories instead of letting them happen. Yeah. Like, just let the season play out, and you'll get a good story. They're forcing their hands at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's ugly. Agreed. And it doesn't make me want to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are watching a franchise that has done its best to build some youth hockey in its area where there's no ice typically. You're basically marching them off to Salt Lake City now. And yet you have a team in Vegas who's, you know, I know it's under the rules, but something stinks.
Yeah, guys, it stinks.
I mean, this is like the Ohtani thing with the Dodgers. I'm not talking about the gambling. I'm talking about the contract with $680 million of $700 million deferred till after the contract ends.
Yeah.
So that your average annual salary drops from $70 million to $46 to count against your cap number or whatever the hell, luxury tax.
Yeah, luxury tax.
Hello, tax evasion.
Uh-huh. Like, yeah.
If you are going to require a cap or a luxury tax or something, at least make it so it's not so easy to just avoid it.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
I mean,
100%. Yeah, 100% right on that.
I mean, it's the meme of Kevin Nash getting out of the wheelchair with the fake leg injury and ready
it's
to
a
go.
Miracle. He's alive. Yeah.
And, you know, I want to say, I don't question that Mark Stone had a lacerated spleen.
Yep.
That's for sure. And I it's a horrible thing for him to go through, and it's nice to see that he's coming back. But when you hear the average recovery time and he's coming back sooner, like, something fishy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely suspicious. A little cloak and dagger going on over there.
Yeah,
for sure.
He's not the only player on that roster either who was suspiciously off the,
Marchessault, I think, was another, and there was a few others.
Well, they traded for Tomas Hertl.
Oh, that's right.
From San Jose, who's got a huge cap hit, but he came over. He was already injured.
Yeah.
And he only recently just started playing again. Yeah. So,
okay.
Something stinks.
Yeah, exactly.
And that moves us right into topic one.
Yeah.
I think, was it Thursday or Friday? Was it
Thursday?
It was Thursday because we were talking about a pre-production.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Wednesday. I don't know.
It could have been Wednesday.
I think it was Wednesday. Yeah. So, well, in any event, we got the news that O.J. Simpson passed away at the age of 76.
Yeah.
Passed from cancer last week. Shame of it is, the first thing that comes to my mind was the whole business with the murders and the trial and the Ford Bronco.
Yeah. Not his playing career. It was the
not his playing
trial.
Career.
Yeah. Yep.
Not even his acting career, which was, but, you know, still.
Yeah. Yeah.
We all know Leslie Nielsen was the real.
Yeah. I mean, he's the only reason that we know what a Hertz Rent-A-Car is.
Yeah.
which is weird for Hertz, man.
Very like, strange. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, this really was the quintessential guy was on top of the world. And he did something, the jury found he didn't, but we all know he did something incredibly, incredibly bad to bring it down. And that was the first thing that just popped into my head. And I know we were all utes when this went down.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I was in, I guess, junior high school at the time.
Yeah.
And Matt will get into his story about graduating high school at the time, but that was really a weird, weird time. And I thought this would be a good opportunity to just kind of reminisce about everything you remember about that whole thing, because it captivated the country.
Yeah, it sure did.
Probably shouldn't have, but it was, it's the first time I can remember as a kid something that wasn't like a war or a something going on politically or yep. with some other country that was just bashing you over the head daily in the news.
Yeah.
The first, I guess celebrity, the TMZ was, I believe, born out of this, frankly.
I don't think I remember them before it. So.
No. But so just for the timeline to frame it. So June 12th, 1994, Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman, who apparently just happened to be there, were both brutally murdered. June 17th, 1994, OJ is in a what was roughly an hour and 15 minute long chase in a Ford White Bronco at low speeds with the cops. He was accused of the murders, went to trial starting January 24th, 1995. Trial lasted 134 days.
God.
Verdict October 3rd, 1995.
Jeez.
And so we'll get into that whole thing. Matt, you had an interesting reminiscence about the Bronco chase. Well, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, man. Yeah, Steve. I mean, this was really just the weirdest day, because it literally was like the day prior I graduated high school. And the next day at around probably, it would have been probably around, I guess, 5-6 o'clock. You know, just about ready to head into the NBA finals, because it was Knicks Houston back then.
No, it was actually closer to like 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock at night. Yeah. So I'm watching the NBA finals back then, when basketball was, you know, great back then. You had Akeem and Patrick Ewing and the whole bit. And they all of a sudden cut to this car chase, and it's OJ Simpson in the Ford White Bronco, and they're going very slowly up 405, you know, the California freeway, and there's like a mess of cops behind them, probably at least at least 50 cars behind them, and there are people on the overpass cheering along, yeah, OJ, yeah, woo, you know, that kind of deal. And I'm thinking, what are we doing? And they're doing a split screen, and the NBA finals are reduced to essentially like a lower third graphic, while they have OJ being, you know, plastered all over the place. So I'm thinking, this is game five. This is like an important game of the NBA finals. Why are we watching a Ford Bronco going 25 miles an hour on the 405 freeway? It was just the weirdest and most bizarre thing I'd ever seen. And of course, you know, the family were talking about it pretty much like all day, and the news just would not relent of this story. They just stuck with it every single day. There was something in regards to, well, he's now going to go to the cops. Now he's going to go here. And now he's going to go there. And then when the trial kicked off, it was like wall-to-wall coverage. And it was like, it was ridiculous at that point. Ridiculous. And I just remember the chase is the one thing that I just remember. Like, it's been emblazoned in my mind every time you hear or speak of the name O.J. Simpson, bam, Ford White Bronco traveling on 405, and there's about 50 cops traveling behind him. And so I couldn't get away from it.
Yeah, John, you noted in pre-production that this was not the type of car chase we were used to seeing.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you remember about that?
Very slow. And he was communicating.
Yeah,
with people and they were reporting that, which was it was just tomfoolery at its finest. My memories pick up is when the trial began, because that was I have a heavy respect for the law and the people who keep it up, and I just remember being like, this can't be the way this works. This is not real. This has to be fake. Like, it's like it almost was like they were announcing them as performers. And, you know, I remember early on, like, the names were like, Ito, you know, the justice. He's been in the game for a couple years. You know what I mean? Like, it was, they were trying to put a sports spin on it because they didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
And that was that was the biggest thing. Nobody was prepared for this, not even the networks. We went through so many different presentations early on in the trials that it created what we now know of Court TV. It's changed the way that Cops was probably around then, but I'm sure it changed the way it was shot because you didn't get helicopter chases in the initial seasons.
No.
So it felt to me a lot less like a murder trial than a production of Hollywood. And it just never made any sense to me. And that's kind of what it just, I watched it in all the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, how can this can't be real?
Yeah. It's almost like it was be work, Johnny. Sounds like, you know, it's almost like a work or a shoot. And you were like, oh, it's probably a work going on here. You know what I mean?
It was everywhere.
It was.
I remember like going to doctor's appointments.
Yeah.
You know, getting off from school and they'd have it playing on TV because it was during the day.
It was on all day and all night. It was on from 8 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock at night. Like, they were trying to OJ. Is he guilty? Is he innocent? Is he guilty? They were trying. The media, this was probably one of the first times where I realized the media was full of shit.
Because,
what are you trying to do? Like, why are you trying to pit people against each other? Like,
that was exactly my question, like, Johnny.
I don't understand why you keep asking these questions.
What is the purpose of showing this trial? It's kind of a high profile thing. Where were you? But it's like, okay, now can we please move on? Because we know that he's going to go, like, he's in a lot of trouble, obviously. Yeah. And it's like, he's got to get like lawyers and all that kind of stuff and he ponied up obviously to get himself freed. And he did, found not guilty by reason, you know, by his peers, by a jury of his peers.
I would not call him his peers because he was a
very
rich POS. Yes.
That
was tried in front of people that made money that isn't what he was making.
Yeah.
And that's what makes him a bigger piece of shit.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it was just, but I think this was the moment where we started to see the media really start its downward spiral, because it was just,
it could have been before that, but this is where where you kind of feel this was evidence that it was happening.
Yeah, like, I mean, it was already murky to begin with. Neil Postman has a great book, Amusing Ourselves to Death. I've talked about it on the podcast before.
It's incredible.
Great book. He has a great chapter on the media itself, basically saying, hey, look, you know, in order to make the news interesting, we got to have this distinguished looking dude as your main anchor. This other dude that's kind of like, oh, okay, I'm just hanging along for the ride, or a co-host that looks, you know, feminine, you know, feminist or whatever, that looks attractive. You got your sports guy over here smoking a cigar, kind of going, oh, they all stink, whatever. And then you got the weather guy with a pointer going, oh, it's going to rain over here. You know, watch out, put up an umbrella. And it's done in an entertaining type format. And it was written in 1984 or 1985 or something like that. It's a great book. And it's like, what was happening with the OJ trial was exactly what Postman was talking about. It was entertainment. It was not newsworthy. And I think that's where you start to see, you know, the downfall of the media. Now you look at the media now, that's all they look for is the breaking news. It's the next big running after the chase, all that kind of stuff. It's ridiculous. It's so insane what's happened since.
I mean, could you imagine if this had all taken place like today?
Oh, God.
With social media and the you know, the availability of phones to just
talk
about it constantly.
I think we all fall prey to that, Steve, to your point. We all look for that next breaking thing on the phone, and it's like, we got to put these phones down and use them.
OJ would have had a Patreon account by mile marker 3.
Yeah.
And his lawyers would have been paid by people watching.
Yeah.
If it happened, thank God, like, everybody who has money, don't kill anybody, because they will use you and abuse you.
Yeah.
And that was the thing with the trial. We all knew every single attorney's name.
Yeah.
Every one of them almost introduced like they were starting power forward for the
Czar. Which is really weird, Steve, right? To your point, I think is
it was very strange. And I remember seeing it every night, you know, after school, you'd see the news recap of what happened during the trial during the day. And then ultimately he gets acquitted. I don't know. I'm trying to remember. I don't think it was a shock to me that he was acquitted.
I think
with the benefit of hindsight, more and more people are realizing he probably did it.
Yeah.
Even said jurors that are coming out and saying that. Well, yeah. Well, we kind of missed that one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember I was in school and there were kids like with radios in the lunchroom listening for the verdict. Because they wanted to know. And some people cheered when it happened.
Yeah.
They put TVs in my school's classes so we could watch the verdict, which made no sense to me because I'm like, what is this? So we're not doing English today? Okay. All right.
Like, where were you when the kid got assassinated?
I'll be back here.
Yeah.
I mean, I could understand that if you were talking. Let's say, let's go back to like Lee Harvey Oswald. Let's say Jack Ruby didn't shoot him 2 days later.
Yes.
And he goes on trial for the assassination of JFK.
Yep.
I could see that trial being a huge deal.
Of course. Yeah.
You, that's something you would absolutely wheel the TV into the classroom. Like, hey, we're going to find out if this guy is going to be convicted or not for the assassination of the leader of the free world.
Yeah. You could educate off of that. What could you educate off of former football player kills ex-wife and friend in jealous rage?
Yeah.
Like, right? Kids don't do this at home? Like, it's all...
Hey, kids, look, that's Kato Kaelin.
Yeah. Who was more recognizable than Al Gore? Everybody knew who Kato Kaelin was. Everybody knew
why
who
Al Gore for president?
Was back then. Well, he invented the internet. That's another side story. But... yeah.
Yeah, and it's, I think, you know, talk about the people cheering. I think it was
bizarre.
It was bizarre, but I think it was just they didn't want someone who could be perceived as a role model or a hero of theirs from past doing something.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe you have to wake up and
it was
shit happens.
It was presented in a way to divide.
Oh,
that's
no,
that's my biggest takeaway from, I guess that's why media now does not surprise me when, because that was my first kind of break into the business where it was like, what did he just say? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What are they saying over there? Because I need to make sure that
the LAPD certainly did not help.
No,
whatsoever.
And
they completely bumbled this.
Yeah,
and
no
they
question.
Were not, and they were not good coming into this.
No, they weren't.
They were already the foe. They were already the heel wrestler going into WrestleMania. They were already pegged by most of the country as incompetent.
Yeah, no question. Because two years prior to that, there was the riots, and they could not handle that. They absolutely
they technically caused them.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. That not only were they incompetent, but they were racist.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not a good
look. They pretty much caused the riots, couldn't handle the riots, and then bumbled another investigation.
Yeah.
They were bound to look bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so he gets acquitted, but fortunately, a civil trial comes up yeah. subsequent.
Yes.
He was found liable for both murders and owed the victims' families $33.5 million in actual and punitive damages. So Ooh. At least some yeah. form of law
Steve,
justice
could you,
was had.
Could you explain to people with the civil trial being found liable and in a criminal trial found guilty? Could you explain that?
Well, yeah, okay, so yeah, in a criminal trial, you're accused of violating a law, and so you're either guilty or not guilty. In a civil trial, it's not a law you've broken, usually, per se. It is a law, but you're being sued by someone who wants compensation for the acts that take place, and it's not guilty or not guilty. It's called liable or not liable.
Okay.
The standard for being guilty in a criminal case is beyond a reasonable doubt, which the LAPD failed it miserably to, follow proper procedures to get that guilty verdict. Liability in a civil case is typically a preponderance of the evidence, which is basically 51%.
Okay.
It's a lot easier to be found liable in a civil trial, but
interesting.
I mean, at this point, we yeah. all know. I mean, it's
well, he's being judged right now, so I mean,
his attorneys played the system well.
Oh yes. Yeah,
we'll put it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, having him try on the glove, painting the lead detective in the light they did.
Yep.
It was all, you know, they played the system the way they could.
Yeah.
And,
exactly.
They got him off, but.
I was also going to mention this too. $33 million in 1995, worth today, double that. It's $67 million, essentially, more than double, just a little bit more than double.
And I'm sure that it was never paid.
Oh, no.
I don't think he had that much.
He played them. No. He screwed them around the whole time. And it just coming to even on his deathbed, his kids had to sign NDAs. Like, he was just off his rocker.
Yes.
For a year. I mean, he went to jail for stealing his own stuff.
For years. Yeah. You could go to Las Vegas. There was a point in time when the Las Vegas convention where he defrauded people.
Yeah.
And was found and was arrested outside of Las Vegas for defrauding a lot of folks. So this was not it. You know, we go back to what Steve said at the top, and he's exactly right. You want to talk about a fall from grace? This is an example of what a fall from grace is, unfortunately. Yeah. He was
this
at
the extreme,
highest level.
The most extreme.
I will. I will end. Let's end it on this. He was a great football player.
Yeah.
I'm not putting him in the top 1% of humans because he was a great football player. He was a great football player that ended up kind of having a shitty existence.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
He threw it away. Just one more thought on that car chase.
He's going very, very slowly.
I'm pretty sure at some point during that, I'm like, when are the cops going to pull out that spike strip?
Yes.
How long are we going to let this go
right?
on?
I mean, seriously. It's just very easy to put the boys, spike strips out there. It would have stopped it within like at least a half an hour or at least 30 seconds or so.
And still they were just shutting down freeways and just like, man, everybody else got punished for this idiot.
Yeah, right. Can you imagine somebody on their way home from work, they're going to have to sit in traffic for an extra 3 hours now of the 3 hours they have to sit in LA traffic?
I was just going to
make way for OJ.
Can you imagine going the opposite way and you're like, what the hell's going on? You have no idea. And then you look to your left and you see this white Bronco, nobody else. And then there's like a massive like cop cars following behind. It's like,
LA on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think I would be thinking like, he's going real slow. I think you guys could catch up.
Like, just pull over.
You want me to get out? You want me to get out and help? Like, are you in trouble?
Meanwhile, they got a bunch of Arnolds behind the wheel. This is the vehicle's top speed.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, all right. We'll get to Arnold later. But topic two, some more bad news going on.
Yeah.
Bunch of pitchers are throwing their elbows out. And I think it was, I just saw it was announced Spencer Strider of the Braves is going to be out for the year now after elbow surgery. So, hey, Phillies.
Yes, sir.
This is your opportunity. You want to take the Braves.
Yeah. Might be able to win a division now.
Yeah.
The number one starter.
Those City Connect jerseys will be fine. Absolutely. Yeah, right.
Yeah. 0-1 so far in that jersey. Yeah. Just so you know.
I mean, you're going to lose in baseball. So as long as they lose in that jersey, I'm fine because it's only a couple games.
Right. Right. Well, the ESPN article, they spoke to Yankee pitcher Garrett Cole about the whole discourse surrounding the pitching injury phenomenon. And he had some interesting things to say. He is one of several prominent pitchers that sustained a major arm injury since teams reported for spring training in February. The recent surge was unnerving enough for Tony Clark, the Major League Baseball Players Association, or MLBPA, executive director.
Sounds about right.
Yep.
To release a statement blaming the increase in elbow injuries on the pitch clock.
Push it. Good thing.
Bless you, John.
Major League Baseball, or MLBPA, responded with its own statement without attribution, dismissing Clark's thesis that day, pointing to the rise of pitcher injuries in recent decades, long before the pitch clock was enforced. Garrett Cole was interviewed and said he was disheartened by the back and forth. I'm just frustrated. It's a combative issue, he said.
Yeah.
We need to get on the same page to at least try and fix it.
Yep.
Cole said he didn't have any solutions for the problem, but contended MLB's assertion that the pitch clock isn't a factor in injuries after one season of implementation is short-sighted. He says to dismiss it out of hand, I didn't think it was helpful to the situation. Cole himself recalled a couple situations early last season when he was caught off guard by fatigue. He said he believes the pitch clock was the reason, but he was able to handle it. Cole argued the pitch clock is just one variable introduced in recent years that could have negatively impacted pitchers. He noted the shortened ramp-ups before the 2020 and 2022 seasons, the crackdown on pitchers using foreign substances for grip, and the industry's relentless arms race to throw harder and spin the ball more than ever as other possible elements. John, you have children who played baseball at youth levels.
Yes.
So you have some experience with this, and you relayed some interesting tales in pre-production. What do you attribute the rise in elbow injuries? And
fundamentals. It's only fundamentals. It's only going to be fundamentals. It has nothing to do with pitch clock. The pitch clock to pitchers is stupid because it rushes them. I get that. It's not fun to watch sometimes in a competitive game, but in a lackluster game, pitch clock's great because get them in, get them out. Like, I don't care. But no. Watching in a nice competitive game where pitchers are both doing very well, you can see the difference of it speeding them up. It's not injuring them. It's the fundamentals to throw hard. It's everybody wants to beat a 100-mile guy. They didn't have this 20 years ago. They had one or two guys that could do that. And because those guys were fundamentally sound, or they were crazy and they were in and out of the league really quick.
Yeah.
They're I could see why the pitchers want to blame the pitch clock. Ruben Amaro was Phillies game when this was fought first brought up. He almost lost his mind with Tom McCarthy. Like, Tom McCarthy had to give him a sedative. Like, he was like in and out of break. He was messing up the whole flow of the game.
Yeah.
Another thing, like, it was insane. It was, if you didn't say it, hopefully it's on YouTube because it was highly entertaining.
That's funny.
He was like he was the grumpy old man, like, get off my lawn. It's not this. He was saying the same thing I'm saying. It's the fundamentals. They're rushing these guys through the system. Look at the kid for the Phillies. I can't even remember his name that pitched in the playoffs last year. He was in AA, AAA, and the majors in one season. That's unheard of.
Yes, very rare.
That's unheard of.
Yeah. I mean, it's
shocking. He was hurt at the beginning of the year.
What a shock!
I'm not shocked by that.
Yeah. I mean, pitch clock has definitely helped in terms of the overall average of timing of the games. No question about it. Even like when it was first introduced and kind of going, I'm not really sure. you're talking, like, I just pulled it up here on the Sporting News. Minor league games averaged 2 hours, 38 minutes in 2022, down from 3 hours, 3 minutes. So already you're shaving half an hour off. No one wants to go through a Lord of the Rings movie unless you're watching Lord of the Rings. But no one wants to watch a Lord of the Rings baseball game. It takes too long for that to take place. So, okay, you need a pitch clock. Well,
I blame 50% of the pitchers and 50% of the batters. Pitchers are at fault for, you don't need to take a minute and a half between each pitch.
Yes.
Stare at home plate.
Yeah.
And then wipe your face.
Rub your hand or whatever the case may be. Yeah. So it's like 15 seconds with no runners on base in 2023, 20 seconds with runners on, 30 seconds between batters. So that was 2023. I tried to look it up for 2024. Didn't work. But John, I think to your point, and it's spot on, fundamentals are huge. We talked about Jamie Moyer in pre-production, guys, right? Jamie Moyer was a 25-year major league pitcher. 25 years. He never threw above 90 miles an hour. Not once.
I don't think he ever threw above like 80.
Yeah, I don't think he.
I could probably drive faster than his fastball.
Yeah, his fastball was not humming. It was
But it was
deceiving, though, because his changeup was walking to the plate, jumping into the glove.
This obsession with throwing 95, 96, 97.
It's,
I'm sorry,
cool.
If you're a professional scout, it, absolutely, yes, it's cruel. You're exactly right.
No, it's
right,
cool. Jared. No, it's cool to see it.
Yeah.
It's cool, but it's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable. And I think that is where Gerrit Cole is kind of landing on a little bit there and saying, like, I think the realization is maybe going to start to set in on some of these pitchers. Like, I can't throw 95, 96, 97. I have to think of ways to throw my changeup at 79 and my fastball at 90. Just take it off a little bit. You don't have to go full gas all the time. There's no way the human arm isn't meant to throw a fastball at 95, 96, 97 all the time.
Look at Wheeler. He throws a high 90, but he doesn't throw it often. He throws it when he needs it because he can pitch. That's the one thing I would say to Gerrit Cole, if I was able to say something to Gerrit Cole, is you don't know how to pitch. I understand why you get injured.
Yeah.
He's not a pitcher's pitcher. He's not a Maddox. He's not a Glavin. He's not a Schmoltz. He's not a Wheeler. He's not a Randy Johnson. Randy Johnson could throw 150 miles an hour, but he didn't.
Yeah.
Because he worked on other pitches. He knew how to pitch.
Randy Johnson could throw 100 miles an hour because he was 7'6"
exactly.
Tall.
It wasn't hurting his arm. But he was fundamentally good.
Well, that's you mentioned the names of those three Braves pitchers from the 90s, Maddox, Smoltz, and Glavin. Maddox and Glavin in particular, I don't think threw more than like 93 miles an hour on a fastball.
No, there's no way. No.
They knew how to pitch.
Yeah.
That's why the Braves were so good back in that day, because those three guys could pitch. They didn't have to throw 100 miles an hour to miss a bat.
Yeah. And that's where...
So what we're looking for now is we need... And it's the analytics guys. We need guys who can throw 100 miles an hour all the time. No, how about you find somebody who could pitch?
Yep.
Well, you don't, because that's probably harder to find.
I would agree with the we need 100 miles an hour if you realize that the rest period between 100 miles an hour is going to be double of what it's going to be from a guy who's pitching.
Yes.
So, yes, I got a 100 mile an hour guy, but he can't pitch every week. And they're using the same – this is the fundamentally – baseball screwed with this because, it's a 5-day thing. Oh, it's a bullpen game. Like, they need to figure out their logic because they throw too many things out there and these guys have to change course all the time. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, one way you could probably counteract that, Johnny, would be like, okay, minimum, I think right now, or maximum that they can carry, 25, 26 players. So if you bump that up to 30... All of a sudden, you got four extra pitchers, or you could use that. That would help.
Smart.
I mean, that would help. You know,
why do we have such a small, especially in baseball? Why such a small roster? You carry 40.
Yes, you have a minimum. Yeah, a 40
on
man
paper.
Active
I'm
roster.
Sorry, you carry 40 on paper.
Yeah,
so, right. And we have to pay attention to it because you carry 40 on paper and we got to know.
You can't put 30 of those 40 in a roster, you know, on an active roster. Like that to me is like.
Man, a couple in the press box just in case.
Just in case.
And you have to leave a guy in a lot more than he should.
Yes.
Because, well, you know, so-and-so had off tonight because he pitched yesterday.
Yep.
So we're short in the bullpen. So he's got to go extra innings.
Yeah. Well,
that's not helping anybody.
Yeah.
It's definitely baseball's fault that baseball's in this, has this issue in front of them. But fundamentally, if the one thing they could do to change it is get more into the youth, and then you wouldn't have these knuckleheads that came up here that are getting hurt.
One of the things
out.
I saw about this is somebody who showed a picture of Nolan Ryan at a certain point in his delivery.
Good
and
stride.
His arm is straight up,
yeah,
90 degrees up.
Yep,
coming straight over the top.
Oh.
Yep, and your shoulder is not buckling as it's coming through.
Well, more importantly, your elbow is not
safe
under horrific torques. And then they showed somebody pitching today, and I can't remember if their arm was like this or like this at the same point in the delivery.
Both are bad.
Both are bad, and I worry about Nola more than Wheeler because Nola, when he throws, has this weird whip action with his arm,
but
and that freaks me the hell out.
But he throws from his hip; he can pitch a little bit, so he throws from his hips more than his arm.
Well,
he's guiding his arm through his, which doesn't scare me. But if it was a dude that he was throwing 100 miles an hour and his hip wasn't coming through, that would scare the shit out of him.
This analysis was like, you might get an extra 2 or 3 miles an hour on your fastball if you're at this point in your delivery when you come through instead of Nolan Ryan's over the top.
Yeah.
I think I'm copying Nolan Ryan, frankly. Yeah. The guy lasted 2 decades in the league and was one of the greatest pitchers ever.
Ever. Yeah.
And if it saves me from having to go into the knife on my elbow.
Yes.
Even if I'm losing 2 or 3 miles an hour. But like we said, that's what baseball is looking for. They're not looking for dudes who could pitch. They're looking for velocity.
Yeah.
I think it's counterproductive.
Yeah, very much so.
And to end it, just, you know, so we can blame Rob Manfred.
Yeah,
not
totally.
For the pitch clocks. But another thing Garrett Cole mentioned there was the short ramp up on 2022 and 2020.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the 2022 was in particular the strike.
The lockout. Yeah, yeah.
And so there was a shortened spring training going into that season.
Thanks a lot, Rob. Appreciate you. Yep.
I can see a shortened spring training, a shortened ramp-up period contributing.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
You're trying to get ready, and if you're not ready to go to throw 100 pitches,
all of a sudden you got that issue. Well. Yeah, exactly.
All right, you know who I am. I'm AC, damn it. Maybe not. But if you don't know who I am, you should go to our website. That's twonoobstalking.wordpress.com. There you can find old episodes all the way back to 140, and you can link to our YouTube channel if you want to see anything earlier than that.
Absolutely.
And that's going to come into play a little bit later. I'm not going to give away anything there. But you can also find links there to different audio platforms where you can get us audibly if you want to listen to us, say, in the car, because you shouldn't be watching us while you're driving. And if you are, stop it. But if you don't see one of the Audible channels that you like there, we also give you the RSS feed. You can plug that into your podcatcher. Use whatever damn AC audio program you want.
And
you can listen to us. And on the homepage, there's a box you can enter your email, be notified every time a new episode drops on the website.
Love it.
Thanks, WordPress.
Yeah, great.
I don't know. I did all the work. I don't know what WordPress has to do with it.
They put the box there. You put it there.
I guess so. All right. Thanks, WordPress. We appreciate it. I'm just, you know, I'm very sarcastic on this. This show.
Oh, of course you are.
All right. Okay, so now we're going to jam it in there. And I never thought we would say this, but we're jamming it in there with Batman.
Hey.
Which could hurt.
Could hurt. He's got all kinds of pointy, jaggy things on that belt of his.
What do you think I'm doing back there? I'm jamming it all in there with all three of the Lego sets.
I noticed before you joined the thing here, John was jamming it in there with some Batman figures up over his shoulder on the shelf.
Yes.
He was lining them all up nicely.
It's more Joker, but it's...
Well, let me see a Batman in there.
Yes, singular Batman. It's the Christian Bale Batman. I still can't find the Funko Pop in a reasonable, for my wallet, version of
Michael Keaton
and 66 one.
You got one over there.
They are really, really expensive now online.
I don't know how much was paid for that. It was a gift. But I can't imagine it was too expensive. All right. So first article here we have in the Jam It In There segment. Someone by the name of Alan Ritchson, who is best known for starring in Prime Video's Reacher.
Who or what is that?
Who?
Exactly. What? Who? Who?
He has expressed interest in playing Batman in the past and recently said it again in an interview with The Hollywood Reporter. I would love to play Batman. There, I said it, okay? I'll shout it from the rooftops. I want to be Bruce Wayne. Here's the thing about Batman. You know what his superpower is? Intelligence. Dude is the smartest superhero there is. He's inventive and he's got all the gadgets, but he's super smart. I want to be that guy. And also to have a cave with like hypercars, sports cars, and awesome motorcycles. I don't know if you caught, I guess it was Snyder Cut. Batman in there confessed that his superpower is being rich. So, first off, you don't even know Batman.
So take that, loser.
Go ahead.
I do not want celebrities playing iconic characters that come off this pompous. Why don't you do what Christian Bale and Heath Ledger did and get audition for the roles, get the roles, and do something with the roles, Now we're pre-talking about the people that might play Batman. Like, these people are insane in Hollywood.
I was just going to say, nothing is more important than setting a goal for yourself. But, I mean, come on, man. Like, go and audition for it. And if you make the cut, you make the cut. But, I mean, come on. Oh, please, pick me. I want to do it. I don't even know who the hell you are. That's the problem. And maybe that's just my age, but it's like, I don't even know who that guy is or Reacher. It was like, we had to look it up, didn't we? Like in pre-production.
I still don't care what it is. I'm not watching it.
It's like, good for him, I guess.
Look, I can understand the pandering. I mean, I did it on this show trying to get on Rick and Morty when the voice of Rick and Morty was fired.
There you go.
Cartoon Network never called me, so screw you, Cartoon Network.
Well, once we see them at the whatever awards, they're getting super kicked, so it's fine.
Nice. I haven't gotten anybody coming out saying, like, I do a pretty good George Takei. Oh, my. But no, I'm not kidding. No one's calling me. You know, it's like, come on. What's going on over there?
Right. I mean, look, we all know not to second-guess people who are cast in Batman roles. You know, Michael Keaton knocked it out of the park. Heath Ledger was another one. We're like, oh, Heath Ledger. Blah. He knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, we've learned.
Yeah.
John's right. Go audition.
Yeah.
Okay, and be picked. Be better than everyone else who auditions. And then you can play Batman.
Absolutely.
Don't try to win the job through the news.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so let's go to the second topic, which is the second movie of the Joker series of movies, starring Joaquin Phoenix, and now Lady Gaga will play. Crap, what's her name?
Harley Quinn.
Yes, thank you. Sorry.
You're welcome.
That. Yes.
Spoiler alert, I haven't seen Joker 1, so I'll be quiet over here.
Thanks to me, too. I haven't seen
it. I guess I'm the only one who saw the original Joker film.
What'd you think of it?
Well, I'll get into that in a second. Let me just set up Joker 2. Okay. The trailer was released last week, which is why we're bringing this up. Some cool shots in it, particularly one where Harley Quinn draws a smile on the prison glass and Joaquin Phoenix moves over. And it was pretty cool.
Pretty good, yeah.
But the rest of the trailer, before I get into Joker 1, I'll ask the two people who didn't see Joker, what did you make of the trailer? Because John had some pretty strong feelings about it.
Good shot, but I mean, it doesn't really appeal to me for some reason. I think only because I look at the Joker and I see Jack and I see Heath Ledger. And those are the Jokers that I love. They were maniacs. They were crazy. And Joaquin Phoenix is taking this Joker, from what I've heard and what I've, you know, seen some of the clips, as this sad, melancholy Joker who just happens to kill people. And it's like, I don't follow that. I don't get a sad Joker. He's not sad. He's a maniac. He's crazy. He's, you know, he's a lunatic. He, you know, goes out there and causes mayhem. And I just don't, it doesn't appeal. I think the character doesn't appeal to me. My opinion.
John?
I'll give you the Joker in two scenes. When Jack, Bob, give me the gun. Bang.
Yeah.
That's Joker.
Yeah.
That's Joker.
That's Joker.
And when Heath Ledger's Joker is in the hospital room with Harvey Dent, and he's explaining why all this is happening, and it has nothing to do with him. It's everything to do with you. And he's fixing his hair, and he's got an itchy face, and he's wielding a gun haphazardly. That is the joke that even goes back to the Cesar Romero Joker. He's unhinged. You're not going to sit down and have a civil conversation or talk about their feelings. They don't have feelings.
Yes. Great line from the Dark Knight.
One more. Okay. When he slid down the money and lit it on fire.
Yeah. That was good.
Yeah.
One of the best lines for that whole Harvey Dent scene, John, was when Heath Ledger's like, he's got the six shooter revolver, you know, and he's like, you live, you die. And the line for Joker, now you're talking. I mean, it was just that's exactly who the Joker is. You know, that was brilliant. I love that line.
So sad Joker, I don't get with I need antidepressants. I would rather, like, Joker needs to be put in handcuffs and stuff bombs in people to get out of it. Like, that's how crazy he is.
Yeah.
Like, he's a nutcase.
No, my favorite part from that scene was the second he turns around is like, hi.
He's completely off his rocker.
Right. Well, so I saw the trailer for this Joker 2, and it was all like dancing and ooh, there's Harley. Margot Robbie is my Harley Quinn, by the way.
I agree.
It's artsy fartsy. It's like
Joker the musical is what's going on there.
Yeah. So I saw the first Joker. It was a decent movie. I thought Joaquin Phoenix did a good job.
Okay,
but
it wasn't the Joker. It was like a mob movie where the dude just happens to have like a disability where he laughs uncontrollably at inappropriate moments. That's like about it. The second thing to me was, you can't have a Joker without a Batman.
Yeah.
And there was no Batman.
No Batman.
And so it doesn't have the same feeling to it.
Where's the good guy to come in? Or in this case, where's the anti-hero to come in and take care of this lunatic? He's not there.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like he's going to be in the second one either. So it's
Certainly not. Certainly not. So yeah, a little disappointing.
Did the first one, Steve, come across as an origin story to you?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's definitely an origin story, but it was like an origin story directed by Martin Scorsese. It was like you know what I mean? Like, it had that kind of vibe to it.
So it's like, Joker, happenstance.
Right? It wasn't your traditional kind of... Yeah.
He's not crazy. Yeah. He's just misunderstood.
He's just misunderstood.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's exactly like what Rob Zombie did with Halloween.
Yeah.
He humanizes Mike Myers. I'm like, I don't want to humanize Michael Myers.
No, murderer. Like murderer. Murder people. Slash.
Right. Let's not humanize the Joker either. Come on. Yeah, I don't need an origin story from the Joker. One of the best things about Dark Knight is his origin story kept changing. You don't know what was real.
Because he was telling you lies the whole time.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Yeah. Well, to finish the jam it in there, and speaking of Batman villains, apparently Danny DeVito spoke with People at an exclusive cocktail reception to celebrate the official launch of Hulu on Disney+. But Danny DeVito said he had a ball presenting at the 2024 Oscars alongside his good friend Arnold Schwarzenegger, and noted they are planning to work together again. Oh, please, God. Please, God. I need that in my life.
Yes.
But DeVito, who played the Penguin in the 1992 movie Batman Returns, then shared his thought on the possibility that he and Schwarzenegger, who starred as the villain Mr. Freeze in 1997's Batman, might reunite on screen in a future movie about the Gotham City superhero. He said, oh, I don't know. I don't think it's a bad idea because you got Keaton, you got Schwarzenegger, you got DeVito. We could do the same parts. Yeah, why not?
Yikes.
I'm all for it.
I will totally watch it, but can we call it like something else, like elderly Batman? And
I was just gonna say, can we bring Tim Burton back while we're at it? That would be tremendous.
If you're gonna do a complete reboot, I'm all for it. If you're not gonna do a complete reboot, I am not all for it.
I think if I'm dead serious about this, if they get Tim Burton as the director and they bring models back, you know, like miniature models, I'm all for it. You know what I mean? Like,
if they bring the full reboot, yeah, back. Full reboot, I'm totally
no
cool
CGI
with.
None of that stuff, you know.
But if this if this is the half-ass just to get these three dudes in costume, yeah. I don't know if I want to watch that.
Hey, listen, The Flash proved Michael Keaton can still do Batman.
I have no problem with Keaton. I'm talking about
no problem with that. Danny was fantastic as the Penguin. Yep. And I think Schwarzenegger could do a Mr. Freeze if you have somebody competent to write the script.
Yes.
As long as Joel Schumacher's not behind the camera, for it, Arnie.
Yeah, I love you. That was bad.
So Arnie's good. The man. I would love to see him redeem that character of his.
I
didn't think
that.
Of it that way. I would be very interested in seeing him redeeming that character because that character is cool.
I would want to go see that movie. Trust me, Johnny. I would want to go see that movie with Schwarzenegger and DeVito after the hell I had to endure with Batman Forever, whatever the hell, the Batman and Robin.
I know it exists.
2 hours back, damn it.
I know it exists. I might have seen a scene or two.
Thank God.
I have not seen that movie yet.
Same.
I'm still bleaching my eyes out after that movie. Thank you very much, Joel Schumacher.
All right, and as we get into topic 4, we're doing another game show. John's beating something over there.
Riddler, I was trying to use him as the butt for our upcoming segment, but he is not buzzing. He just said, Al, get off me. I'm going over here.
Speaking of phrasing things in the form of a question, right?
I mean, right? We're doing Jeopardy, or whatever the non-trademark term for it is. It's going to be John versus Matt. We've got 4 categories. 4 questions in each category, each totaling a sum of money. I will not, because we're going to be going back and forth, each one's going to take a turn since we don't have buzzers you can buzz in. And because we don't have buzzers, so you can't really subject yourself to not answering the question, I will not deduct money if you get the answer wrong.
Oh, nice.
Very good.
For the question.
He says no.
I will penalize Matt heavily throughout the game.
Nice.
So we've got our
wait.
We're going to have a board. We'll go through the 16 questions, at the end of which we will then have a final Jeopardy where you can wager as much money as you want from what you have in your account. And then we'll see who wins at the end.
Sounds good.
So with the board, we've got 4 categories, and I prepared for this by watching a bunch of SNL Celebrity Jeopardies.
Nice.
This morning.
Nice.
Which is, you know, Daryl Hammond as Sean Connery is. Oh. Always the one. But if you could see the one where David Duchovny is Jeff Goldblum, that's pretty good.
That's pretty nice. Good too. Okay.
There's another one with John Goodman as Marlon Brando where he takes his pants off, which is hilarious.
I expect nothing less from John Goodman.
And then the one that really got me rolling on the floor this morning was Winona Ryder playing Bjork on Celebrity Rock and Roll Jeopardy. And that was hysterical.
Merkel. Okay.
Oh, my God. All right. So the 4 categories we have for today's Jeopardy first round are early 90s WWE, mascots, Star Wars, and 2 noobs.
Oh, my. Okay.
Matt's got that category.
Yeah, right.
So I'm holding up a number of fingers behind my back. John, if you care to prepare a guess.
11. No, 3.
Matt?
This is, you're changing it right now. 2.
In fact, actually, I did not change it. It was 3. John had it right. So John has first control of the board, but we will switch off and on. So when you are ready, John, if you could please pick a category and a dollar amount.
All right, let's go for the gusto. Let's go 1,000 early 90s WWE.
Ooh,
let's see what their question is.
All right.
I can work back from this.
And remember, you have to phrase it in the form of a question. Okay.
Yeah.
So the answer is, this action star served as guest ring enforcer for the Undertaker-Yokozuna casket match at Survivor Series 1994.
Wow.
Who is Jesse the Body Ventura?
Oh, I'm sorry. The ad is incorrect.
That's what I thought it was.
You were looking for who is Chuck Norris.
I do. Now that you said that, I do remember it.
How about that?
All right. So no points
match,
there for
the
John. All right, Matt, you are in control of the board.
Let's go Mascots 500, Steven.
Mascots 400. Oh, I forgot to mention there is a daily double on here, by the way.
Oh, there you go.
Just so you know. But it's not this one. This character works with a large bird to tell people about insurance.
Oh, with a large bird. Who is Liberty Insurance? The character. Gosh darn it, I got it wrong. Yeah.
All right, what we were looking for was who is Doug?
Doug,
of course, and Limu Emu.
Yes.
So, all right, 0 for so far. John, the board flips to you.
Let's go 250 Star Wars. I don't know a lot, but let's try.
All right, Star Wars 250. In the prequel trilogy, Samuel L. Jackson's lightsaber glowed this unique color.
What is purple?
What is purple is correct.
Yay, John.
John gets 250. All right.
All right.
Look at that. All right, Matt, your turn.
I just watched Anakin kill him the other day.
Timely then.
Yes.
There you go. Well, why not? Let's go two noobs, 250.
See? Two noobs for 250. All right. Yeah. Dipping into the archives.
You got
it. In episode 107, an article indicated that Gen Z found this emoji to be rude and passive aggressive.
What is the thumbs up emoji?
Good job.
What is the thumbs up emoji is correct. Good job, Matt.
I told you Matt would get this. I don't remember any of it.
I was shocked it went all the way back to episode 107. Which
that's
was,
crazy.
Practically 80 episodes ago. That's
nuts.
That's a little nuts.
Yeah.
All right, John, you're up. Tie game.
Go 250 early WWE.
All right, early 90s WWE for 250. Bob Backlund made this submission hold famous by slapping it on opponents and refusing to let go.
What is the crossface chicken wing?
What is the crossface chicken wing? Look is correct.
That.
Very good.
That's awesome.
It would not have surprised me if Bob Backlund turned into the Joker at a certain
point. Yes. He was an evil character. Even when he came back the next time, he was weird.
It was just crazy. Oh my gosh.
Who was the guy who threw in the towel that cost him the world championship after like 3 years?
Oh gosh.
Is it Arnold? Arnold Skoland or
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because he was in the camel clutch with the Iron Sheik, right?
Yeah. I did. Yeah, he was, and then he lost again to Kevin Nash, who kicked him in the was said to be midsection, but the height difference.
The night after he beat Bret Hart for the world championship, by the way,
that's funny.
Yes,
all right,
it's
Matt,
not on TV.
There you go,
Matt. You are up.
Go Star Wars 500.
Star Wars for 500. The Empire Strikes Back marked the debut of this famous Empire attack vehicle.
What is the AT-AT?
The Imperial
Walker.
The AT-AT was the two-legged version, right?
Oh, yep. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The elephantine Imperial Walker was what showed up.
Yeah.
In the Empire Strikes Back.
All right. Fair enough. Okay.
All right, John, you're up.
I wouldn't have known that.
I was surprised Matt knew that name.
Let's go two noobs 500. Let's just give it a go.
Yeah, there you go.
Two noobs 500. Yours truly sang a song in episode 61 pretending to be this former TV personality.
I actually worked really hard on the overlay for this one. What is Chris, or who is Chris Cuomo?
Who is Chris Cuomo is nice. Correct. Very
oh,
good.
My gosh.
That took hours, by the way. If you go back to that episode, his face is over Steve's face the entire time. It was ridiculous.
We'll link to it. Yeah, we'll link to it. That's
How
great.
About that? All right, awesome. Matt, you are up. Trailing by 750.
Let's go early 90s WWE for 500.
All right. $500. This wrestler won the very first King of the Ring in 1993.
Wow.
Yeah, too mad. I don't even know.
Gosh, who was that?
That was the first King of the Ring in 93.
Who is Bret Hart?
Very good. Who is Bret Hart?
I was going to say Owen Hart.
I believe he won the following year.
He's a better wrestler.
They had a great storyline, too. They got jealous of one another.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Owen got jealous of Bret and was insane over that. I remember that. Yeah.
But Bret Hart's King of the Ring started his feud with Jerry the King Lawler.
Yeah, that's King versus King. King, of course.
And Lawler was the one who set up Owen to be jealous of the other. So
yeah.
Let's finish the 90s WWE out just because I feel after not finishing it out.
That's good.
Me
too. All right, for 750. Before becoming the All-American, Lex Luger was known by this ring moniker.
Oh, how do you say that? Who is the narcissist?
Yes.
What is the
narcissist? Is it who is or what is?
Doesn't matter. Either one. We'll accept either one. Very good. Yep. Very good. The narcissist Lex Luger. That's how he came to the WWE. That's
very good.
The first time.
Used to stare at himself in the mirror. That's,
yeah. And then, not that Lex Luger, I care to talk about Lex Luger, but then he actually, in Monday Nitro, when the WCW started to do Monday Night, he was the first guy to, after his WWE contract was over on Saturday, showed up on Monday.
Yeah, Mall of America, with Sting and Flair wrestling. Yeah, the main event.
Matt, you got some catching up to do here.
Well, let's tie it up. Two noobs for 1,000.
Two noobs for 1,000. All right.
God.
You got this, Matt.
The water park from episode 148 banned breastfeeding in the Lazy River was located in this state.
Definitely a southern state.
Let me remember. Such a funny story.
Yeah, it was a great story. Water park in... what is Mississippi?
Close. What is Georgia?
Georgia. Oh.
It was Georgia.
Okay.
Yep.
Very good, though.
All right, John, you've got control of the board.
All right, let's go mascots 250.
All right, for 250, this chain restaurant ironically uses cows to advertise its foul food offerings.
What is Chick-fil-A?
What is Chick-fil-A is right for 250. So I got to add the 250 there. John's got 2,000. Matt, we got 750s and 1,000. So you've got
to
catch up here.
Yeah,
you got
get
this,
screwed
Matt.
Over here. why do we get two noobs 750?
Two noobs for 750.
Nice. Thanks for getting me out of that.
This snack was the winner of the best bagged chip tournament in episode 76.
Wow. Doritos was the number one seed, right?
Probably.
Oh, you know what it was? I think it was What is Cheetos?
What is Cheetos? Is
yeah, there you go.
I got that. I never would have got that one. Good job.
All of a sudden, it just hit me. Cheetos. It had to have been. Yeah.
Doritos was the number
one seed. Yeah.
The number one seed. That is correct.
All right. Let's go Star Wars 750.
Star Wars 750 for John. This moon is home to the Ewoks.
Oh. God.
What is Endor?
What is Endor is correct.
My
Very
gosh.
Good.
Well, I've watched a lot of Star Wars. Not that I can recall it immediately.
Very good. All right, Matt, your turn.
Let's go mascot 750.
Mascots for 750. Daily double.
Whoa.
So you have an opportunity here. You can get up to 1,500 points. The introduction of Gritty left these two NHL franchises as the only ones without a costumed mascot.
You got it. Doesn't he have to say how much?
No, it's daily double.
It's double
daily
double. Amount.
So just
double
okay.
the amount.
Yeah.
So I think I have one.
You got this, dude.
I'm just going through them like.
Take your time.
Over
it's
the top
timeline.
Okay. Who are the New York Rangers and the Columbus Blue Jackets?
Blue Jackets got to be.
Oh,
Red
you
Wings.
Were close. It was the Detroit Red Wings.
Wings
is the other one.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. I'm a nice guy, so I'll give you
half of that.
Half credit.
Nice.
Yeah, you do. So absolutely. There you go.
I knew
credit,
the Rangers.
Yeah.
I wasn't Rangers. Sure about the Blue Jackets. I was like,
Well, they yeah, it's that stupid B.
The cannon, but it's the B. Yeah,
no,
you're
it's
right.
The B.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I'll what go, threw me off. It was like, oh, well, wait a minute.
I'll yeah. go 1,000 Star Wars because Matt could win if he get this mascot.
Well, we still have Final Jeopardy after this,
yeah.
so don't forget
that's
that.
True. Yeah.
All right. Star Wars for 1,000. Better known for his work starring in another big film franchise, this British actor cameoed as a stormtrooper in The Force Awakens.
I didn't even see that.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, you did. You saw that one.
I wasn't watching.
I think we talked about this too.
I have no idea.
Oh.
The answer
yep.
was
yep.
who is Daniel Craig?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Makes
played
sense.
The stormtrooper yeah. that Ray escapes from.
Oh, yep. Okay.
All right. So, Matt, last
ahead,
one
Matt.
On the board is mascots for 1,000.
Good.
Dr. Evil's escape ship in Austin Powers was shaped like the mascot of this burger franchise.
Oh, God.
I'm glad that I picked that one because I don't know this one either.
Oh, it's either one of the two. Who is Burger King? Gonna give it a shot. Was
sorry.
It Ronald McDonald?
What
Bob's
is
Big
Bob's
Boy?
Bob's Big Boy.
Boy, yeah.
Bob's Big Boy. Yeah. All right.
It used to be in Elkins Park.
Did it really?
Bob's Big Boy. Yeah. We used to have a Bob's Big Boy.
Oh,
long
I didn't even
time,
know that.
Long time ago.
Time ago.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Man, long time ago. I was a wee lad.
Oh
my
God. I thought that was a.
We must have missed it or something, but we did. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So after the initial round, we've got John at $2,750. Matt is not far behind at $2,250.
Okay.
Right.
So we go into Final Jeopardy. I will present the answer. You write down the question you think it's responsible for and a wager amount.
Okay.
And if you get the answer correct, you will get whatever you wagered. If you get the answer incorrect, you just don't win anything.
Yep.
And whoever's got the most money afterwards will be the winner.
There you go. Okay.
So for the Final Jeopardy question, are you ready and you have writing implements?
Yes.
I am texting you. So, yes.
I have an actual marker ready to go.
I have a pen, but I will text you.
Okay. Hopefully you guys can get this right. This topic is Philly sports.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Final Jeopardy question. This player scored the winning run for the Phillies in game 5 of the 2008 World Series. Jeff Goldblum is doing Tai Chi. Marlon Brando has chosen to speak to a puppet instead of answering.
I have my answer locked in.
Oh, your answer is locked in?
Yeah.
All right.
Almost
mine
positive
is,
for this.
Mine is sent to you. I don't know. I can't remember.
All right.
Do you want me to text it to you as well?
No. It's fine. You can hold it up. And in fact, I'll let you go first, Matt.
Okay.
What do you got?
So I wrote down, who is Eric Bruntlett?
Okay. And your wager?
2,000.
Yes. 2,000. So in fact, that is the correct answer was
yes, it is.
Eric Bruntlett.
There you go.
As soon as he said it.
John's answer was, who is Pat the Bat?
Oh.
And unfortunately,
because he got the
was
hit, I couldn't remember if he was pulled from the game or not.
Yeah.
So Nat pulls off the upset victory.
Good job, Nat.
With $4,250, John would have had zero had I been going by normal Jeopardy rules, because he wagered every single dollar he had.
Why not? Go big or go home.
But it was, in fact, Eric Butlett. So yeah. Matt is the Jeopardy champion of Two Noobs. Congratulations, sir.
And I didn't get screwed over. Who would have thought that?
I tried my best. I really did.
Got me on a few of them, that's for sure.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that ends episode 185 of Two Noobs Talking. We hope you learned something. And if not, that's too bad. And we're going to have more wicked, wicked fun next week in 186, so you're not going to want to miss that. But until then, get out.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Two Noobs Talking. For more information about our podcast, check out twonoobstalking.wordpress.com, and we'll see you next week.